John chapter 10, reading verse 14, by way of introduction. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And may that be our credo this morning. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's bow our hearts and let's ask God's blessing to be with us as we look to God's word. We thank you, God, for your grace and blessing. We thank you, God, for your mighty provision, for your protection. Above all, we thank you for your salvation. We thank you for this opportunity that we have had, that we have, to come together and worship you together as brothers and sisters in Jesus. And now as we look to your word this morning, we pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts and minds to its truth. Send your anointing, God, upon both the speaker and every hearer. Help us to grow in your faith. And we ask this in your name. Amen. We are in the Christmas season. And one of the things that we think on as we think about Christmas are some of the names that are given Christ as was announced prior to his birth. And in one instance, an angel came and declared that he would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And I think that was a message not just for those people who were living at that time, that Jesus would walk amongst them and minister to them and share with them his love, his grace, and his truth, but a message to us now. We need to think of Jesus as not only the God of the past, and what I mean by that is as our Savior who died 2,000 years ago for our sins, or for that experience we might have had a year, 2 years, 20, or 30 years ago when we received Christ as Savior. I'm not trying to take away from those things. Those are that is paramount as far as what Jesus did. And so we all must remember that, but that's not all what Jesus did, things in the past. We must also not be people who think only of what's going to happen in the future. And if we know Christ, is there not a better future for us? And I'm not just talking about hope for tomorrow. I'm talking about eternity. Life sometimes seems long, but there's an eternity waiting that far outspans the brief time that we exist on this earth. And if we know Jesus, it'll be a wonderful and blessed time. So wonderful that words, and I don't even think the human mind can fully comprehend, in fact the Bible says that, what's in store for us who know Christ. But we must also be aware of Emmanuel. God is with us now, amen? Because the past is wonderful and we need to hold on to what Jesus did. Never forget, that's why we observe communion. Once a month, so we remember the suffering and death in Christ and look forward to the future. But know that God is here with us now, especially during this Christmas season. Last week we talked about how Jesus is the bread of life and how he gives us supernatural strength through his word. And this morning I'd like to take time to talk about the shepherding or the caring ministry of Jesus. God cares for us. And his care is not just something that is in his heart. Oh, I care for you. My heart is moved towards you. He watches over and protects us. Because of Jesus, our Heavenly Father, we can claim him as our Father. Amen? And we can claim Jesus as our Savior and Lord and lover of our souls. An intercessor for us. And so this morning I'd like to take a few moments to talk about Christ, the Good Shepherd, or the one who cares for us. In looking at this caring ministry, the illustration that Jesus uses to help people understand that not only does he care in his heart, but he will care for them and so care for us, is that of shepherding. Now, shepherding is not so much big now, especially here in I guess we're not the industrial East. I guess we're the gambling East. But we don't have a lot, you know, a lot of, I know back home in Massachusetts, a lot of dairy farms closed up. And so shepherding and herding and raising cattle isn't too big around here. But in Jewish culture, it was a very big thing. It was something, of course, they needed to survive. They needed meat, and rather than being hunters and gatherers, they chose to be farmers and, of course, shepherds, and to raise sheep and goats and different animals for both to sustain themselves and for worship. It was a big part of their economy. Jacob's great wealth was due to his shepherding. And so shepherding was something that was ingrained with them. In fact, probably I would say the greatest king of Israel, other than Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, was David. And David's beginnings were that of being a shepherd. And so God used this, and I believe God instilled this in the culture of Israel to let Israel know, but of course salvation is not for the Jew only, it's also for the Gentile, to let the world know that he would be a carer for them and would protect them and watch over them. He is the good shepherd. And as a shepherd, just as a shepherd does, and we've talked about this, so we'll just go through this briefly this morning. But he will care and watch over every need that we might have. Of course, the number one need, the number one provision. A shepherd, of course, one of his responsibilities is to feed the sheep, to provide for the sheep. And the number one provision that we have through knowing Jesus is that he has delivered us from sin or provided for us salvation. Another Christmas scripture from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. The announcements of the angel to Joseph, that his wife-to-be would give birth to a son. He said, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Sin is bad. It's not only bad in that it mars human life. And let me tell you, you cannot sin without wounding someone. Even a little white lie can hurt another individual. But beyond that, sin destroys our relationship with God. All have sinned and come short of His glory, and the wages of that sin, according to Romans chapter 6, is death. But because God loves us so much, the Good Shepherd stepped out of heaven and came to this earth, and though He lived a sinless life, allowed himself to be crucified on that old rugged cross. This is a nice piece of wood. That piece of wood was probably old, rugged, stained, rotting, stained with blood, full of nail holes and things where people had been crucified before, a thing of ugliness and of shame. And Jesus allowed himself to be brutally nailed to that cross. Why? Because he was a good shepherd and he wanted to provide a way of salvation for mankind. You have sinned, and because of your sin, you cannot enter into the joy of my Father, so I will take the punishment of my sin upon my life. And he did. And so whoever believes on Jesus will be saved. But there's also the nurturing or the caring ministry of Jesus. We've talked about this, and I think one of the scriptures that speaks most to this other than John 10 would be the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, or I shall not be in need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still or quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. in these wonderful words, in this most beloved psalm, that even people who don't know Christ will at times find strength and comfort from, will be read at funerals, is the explanation or revelation of what the caring ministry of Christ is now. Emmanuel, God with us. The meeting of our material needs. I hope today your trust is not in the economy. If it is, you have learned that you cannot depend upon the economy of the United States or the world. Because billions of dollars can disappear in an instant in this world's economy. But bless God, because I'm God's child. And I am a citizen of the King, a citizen of heaven. I'm part of God's economy, which says God will provide all my needs according to His riches and glory. Like Jesus said in Matthew 6, do not worry, saying what we shall eat, what we shall drink, what we shall wear. For pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you as well. We today, and don't get sucked up into this. And being mindful of Christ as our provider will help us to rise above this. We can be so consumed what's going on in the national, international economy and our own personal economy that our worship life, our prayer life, our service life suffers. Because we're just consumed with money. Let me tell you, money's an important thing. It's like, and I've used this expression before, so please forgive me. It's not everything, it's something. You can't pay your mortgage with love. I don't have money, but I have love. Take that to the bank. Not much love there, is there? Sorry, Pastor Glenn. But bless God. God is a God who, you know, we can be consumed with that. But as if we're truly believers, will not God take care of us? And so should we give thought and worry and concern over bills. And not just sometimes when we've, when things are a little financially tough. At this point, and the enemy can be very effective in this and get us all worried about what might happen 3 months from now. Oh, my bills are paid now, but I don't know what's going to happen 3 months from now. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many have thought that? We don't have to worry because God is our provider in the name of Jesus. The material needs, in fact, It's such a minuscule thing. God says, don't even worry about it. I've got it all taken care of in the name of Jesus. Just focus on me. But bless God. God, you know, a house is great. Clothes are great. But let me tell you, they don't last forever. And here today and gone tomorrow. And there are deeper needs than just your home and your clothing and your food. And that is your spirit. God wants your spirit to grow and to prosper. He wants you to be more attuned to Him, to be filled more with His love, to grow in Him, to have a greater revelation and knowledge of who He is. And so another aspect of His provision is not just taking care of our bills. I mean, that's all fine and good. But in a greater sense, is taking care of our spirit. Jesus said in John 6, the words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Last week we talked about the bread of life. And what does that do? Well, the bread of life, the word of God, which I have here in the pew, I didn't bring up with me. The word of God, it's not something that might fill your belly like bread. But if you prayerfully read and study and meditate on the Word of God, as David wrote in Psalm chapter 1, on His Word I will meditate day and night, so I might be that tree planted by rivers of living water, or by the water. then you will be satisfied in your relationship with Jesus, and you will have strength to grow. What is the purpose of food? Well, one, it's pleasurable. Who doesn't like to eat? Who doesn't like to have? So it's a pleasurable experience. It's a blessing. But it's also something that satisfies. I'm at peace because of the Word of God that is in me, which is quick and powerful. And I am strong because the Word gives strength. I have strength to labor for the day. You don't eat breakfast, you're not going to be as, from what they tell us, I'm not a dietitian, but you're not going to be as able to do what you should be doing. If you don't have breakfast, you're going to have trouble living for Jesus. Amen? So there's that aspect. There is the refreshing of the power of the Holy Spirit, part of the nature or the ministry of the Good Shepherd. One of my favorite scriptures regarding the ministry of the Holy Spirit is from Peter's second sermon in the book of Acts chapter 3. He says, "Repent, then turn to God, that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." Bless God. Who doesn't need refreshing now and then in their life, in their walk with Jesus? We sure do. With everything, we're not of the world, but we're in the world, and there's not much good in the world. You know, a few weeks ago, we had the privilege and the blessing to go to Florida, and what a wonderful time we had. And when you think of Florida, you think of Mickey Mouse and all these things. But I noticed when I would watch the newscast at night, there was always a murder or a robbery going on in Orlando, which should be the city of fun and sunshine and all those things. Evil everywhere. Things that tax your heart and your mind and your spirit. But bless God, the ministry of the Word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit is that which refreshes, so that when we pray in the Spirit, when we sing in the Spirit, as 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 14 tell us to do, then bless God, what should we expect from our Good Shepherd, our Provider? That He refreshes. Maybe not so much the outer man, but I can tell you when your spiritual man or woman is refreshed, it invigorates the body. But your spirit, which might be beaten down and trodden down over cares and pressures and the ugliness of life, is raised up because there's a supernatural power, the power of God that's flowing through you. So bless God. The refreshing power of the Holy Spirit. The ministry of the Good Shepherd is also that of protection, in that He leads us, the Good Shepherd, away from evil and closer to God. And it's just not a middle road that God keeps us on. It's a road that leads away from evil and close to Jesus. We read this in the Psalm. "He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Listen, there's a lot out there in the world that will take you away from Jesus. There are the things that we know. Sin. You don't have to tell people what sin is. Your heart tells you what sin is. Your heart knows that when you tell a lie, it's wrong. When you steal, it's wrong. If you commit adultery, it's wrong. And so obviously, if we're following Christ, God is going to lead us away from temptation, or at least those temptations that we can't handle. I mean, there's temptation everywhere, but we have a promise from God, because He is our Good Shepherd, that will not be what? Tempted beyond what we can bear. And if I had a problem, and I don't, and I thank God, let's say with alcohol, and I couldn't handle, if there was a drink put before, and I couldn't handle that, bless God, if I'm serving Christ, He's going to keep me from that in the name of Jesus. On my way to being delivered in my heart and mind. I'm not saying we have to carry those things through life, but God can give us and does give us the power over sin. But there's also subtle things, a subtle evil which will try to dissuade us from serving Jesus. And that's the evil of false doctrine and false teaching. And let me tell you, it is everywhere. It's not just out in religions that do not ascribe to Christ as the Son of the living God. It's also present in the church. Look at the early church. Were they not a church of power who moved in the power of the Holy Spirit? Did they not have mighty men and women of God who did great things, laying on of hands, healing, miracles, prophesying? They did great things. But did they not have problems in their churches, including the problem of deceit, legalism, occult, selfishness, all those things? Cloaked or I'm looking for another word that's not coming to my mind, but cloaked or covered in a phony righteousness. And scriptures that were taken and read, but bent and twisted in a form not to support serving Jesus and not to support the unity of the Word of God, but to support some type of man's philosophy that was destructive in nature. We're serving Jesus, let me tell you. You know, the Spirit bears witness that we are the children of God. And if you are following the Good Shepherd, and especially if you're eating His provision, the Word of God, and spending time in His presence, as soon as something that's not right comes into your presence, into your ears or into your eyes, or, you know, you read something, you hear something, you see something on television or someone you might work with, and it's not of God, the Holy Spirit will let you know. And protect your mind in the name of Jesus. And protect your spirit from false teaching. He leads us away from evil and He leads us closer to God. I thank God for my relationship with Jesus. And I've said this before, but let me say it again. I thank God that my relationship with God is better now than it was when I first accepted Jesus. Even a year ago. But I know it can be even better than that. I think of that. There's a book written by Smith Wigglesworth, The Apostle of Faith. And Ever Increasing Faith is the name of the title. Wonderful book. I have it. It's not in great shape now. It's getting old. But I love the title. And that it speaks of what the dynamic of our relationship with Jesus should be, and that's more of Jesus in our lives. Amen? We don't have to live on yesterday's stale bread or the same old experience. And I know we've talked about this recently, but just to bring it up again and talking about the ministry of the Good Shepherd. There's also the aspect in reading this psalm. Psalm 23 talks about going through the valley of the shadow of death. What is that saying? That's saying that living for Jesus will not always be a bed of roses. Doesn't mean that everything will always go right. There will be challenges to our faith and to our joy that will come into our lives. But what does that scripture say? You're going to follow the Good Shepherd. You're going to go through the valley of the shadow of death. So man up. And then we should. But no, the Bible says He comforts us with what? His rod or His staff. And we can talk about that. But I don't, you know, the thing I want to focus on this morning is the aspect that through that time, the ministry of the Good Shepherd, even though we might be facing a challenge, I've lost my job. I've gotten diagnosed with an illness. My family has just exploded. That God is not there. God wants us to know that He is there. But His ministry is different. It may not be instantaneous deliverance, but we have the assurance that we'll have His comfort when we go through it. His rod, His staff will comfort us. In fact, 2 Corinthians reiterates this fact. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comforts, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. In fact, that scripture brings out something in addition to life struggles. We can expect, if we're truly serving Jesus and standing up for Christ, adversity from the world, which causes us distress. But bless God, the Bible doesn't say, well, just grin and bear it. But the ministry of the Holy Spirit, according to the words of Jesus in John's Gospel, is one who comes alongside to help, or also called the Comforter or the Counselor, will be there to give you strength. And above and beyond that, love, to let you know that you're loved and you're cared for. Sometimes the only thing that you need is a hug. And in a way, the Holy Spirit hugs our spirit and lets us know that He's there. And that we're, and it's okay. And that we're going to get through it. There's a lot of tragedies. And I just spoke to someone who went through a tragedy. I won't share the circumstances. You know, the only words that came to mind in ministering to that person was that, you know, it's just going to be okay. Don't worry. And I think that's a big part of the comforting ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's letting us know that it's going to be okay. It might be difficult now, and it might be difficult for a while, but it's going to be all right. And we can talk about a multiple number of scriptures that about why we happen to go through all these things. But they do happen. His purpose is in them. But above all, God will never leave or forsake us. Lastly, on this point, the ministry of the Good Shepherd is that of protecting us from the snares of both man and the enemy. Psalm 23 says He prepares a table where? At home, where everything's good, in your neighborhood, in the presence of mine enemies. God prepares a table, a place of what? Where we can rest, where we can relax, where we can grow because we're eating, where we can fellowship with one another and with the Lord. Bless God. David also writes in Psalm 91, surely He will save you from the fowler's snare, from the deadly pestilence. Let me tell you, you know Jesus, as I mentioned in a previous point, you will face adversity. Now, we all know about the enemy. We all blame the enemy for everything. And we should blame him for a lot of things. And he is against you if you are for Christ. He's against you if you're not for Christ, believe it or not. He may pretend to be a friend with you, but in the end, he wants to destroy your life and your soul. Look at, and I'm not saying everyone in Hollywood has sold their soul, but look at how miserable, for the most part, the lives of those in Hollywood who blaspheme God's name and some of the garbage that they put out. Look how miserable their lives are. They're drug addicts, they're alcoholics. Most marriages are broken. I'm not saying it's everyone. And I know there's some believers in Hollywood, and bless God, and God has witnesses everywhere, but making a deal with the devil, now I'm not saying they actually wrote a contract, but obviously not serving God, has not brought them abundant life. But the enemy is not the only one who puts snares and traps. There's also man. And let me tell you, man, And I don't mean to offend anyone, but man's not too many steps away from Satan. Are we not? Have we not chosen to disobey God? Same thing that Satan is guilty of, are we not guilty of as well? In fact, what did Satan want? He wanted to ascend above God. He wanted to be God. He wanted to be greater than God. And what was man's downfall in the Garden of Eden? Eat this fruit and you'll be like whom? You'll be like God himself. Man, and the heart of mankind is evil. And the Bible says men love darkness better than light because it hides their evil deeds. Will hate you, and they don't need Satan's prompting to hate you. They will hate you if they love sin and they're not willing to repent and turn to God, and will be against you. And will lay traps for you. I remember a friend of mine telling me there was, at a place that he worked, there was someone who was standing strong for Jesus. And so what somebody did was throw a beer into his hand to try to destroy his testimony when they were having a social gathering. Not a big thing, but a thing that was against that man's conscience and a thing that would wound his testimony in serving Jesus. Little or big, but bless God. There were a lot of snares that were put out for Jesus too, wasn't there? Well, there were the Pharisees and the scribes. I think they'd spend all night. What are we going to say to Jesus so that we can trip him up? And then we got a jewel, and they come out with one. You know, what if a man dies and his wife lives and she married? You know, crazy things. And then they had a real good one. You know, the one with the money. Who should we give to, Caesar or God? They thought they had him. But every time, what did God do? What did the Lord Jesus Christ do? He refuted them and their foolishness. He never, he spoke publicly, and of course would entertain things. He would never fell into their trap. And we have that same assurance in the name of Jesus. The traps laid out by your family members, your friends. Oh, I'm not happy that Nigel's serving God, and I'm his friend. And I know inside that he doesn't want to serve God, so I'm going to do whatever I can to get him from serving God. Your friends, and they may love you, and they may be sincere, might be against you spiritually. Your bosses. Job's wife, curse God and die. God, because he's our provider, will provide, either prevent us from falling in that snare or give us the wisdom to deal with it, as he did the Apostle Paul and the others in the name of Jesus. Amen? That we don't have to fall into those traps. In Jesus' name. I took more time on these points than I thought I would. So I'm going to go through the next points very quickly. Not only do we need to know what his caring ministry is as Good Shepherd, but why he cares for us. Because I think that's important. When we know why, then we have a firmer grasp upon the fact that he is our good shepherd. When we lose sight of why, sometimes then we forget. Very quickly, regarding the nature of his caring ministry, we need to remember that it is motivated by strong and perpetual love. The reason Jesus is our good shepherd is he loves us. He's not just a shepherd, he's a good shepherd. And the reason he is good is because of his love. He's good, he's righteous and holy and all those things, but he loves us. This was demonstrated in his willingness, and not only willingness, in carrying out his death, his willingness to die on Calvary. I am the good shepherd, John 10:11. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. This is Jesus illustrating here. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends, those he loves and those he cares about. The reason Jesus went to that cross is that he loved us. God commended his love towards us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And we need to have a grasp on that, because there's a tendency to forget that. How do we know if we've forgotten that God loves us? We fall into the old way of doing things, and that God will do good things for me if I do things for him. If we live by works instead of faith. And we know that we're living that way when we're doing good things, we expect many blessings. And we might be disappointed, but when we fail God, we expect God to destroy us, to not have anything to do with us, or that he'll cease being our good shepherd. It's not based on what we do or don't do. You can be doing the best, and all of a sudden a terrible tragedy come into your life, one of those valleys of the shadow of death. Or you could be the most, you know, you could be really just messing up. And God, because he loves you and cares for you, will still be watching out for you. And I'm not saying to wink at sin. Sin is terrible. And God has died for sin and given us the power to walk over sin. But it's not about doing, it's about loving. And the good shepherd will never stop, in fact, we'll talk about this in the last point, will never stop loving you despite the fact that sometimes we disobey. Secondly, his ministry, his provision, is sustained, by unlimited power. Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." We need to know that there is nothing beyond the capability of God. And I say that because, and if I'd ask anyone in this room who's serving, loving Jesus, do you know that Jesus can do anything? And everyone would say yes. But if I ask deep down in your heart, do you believe that Jesus can do anything? You might say yes, but... because as we grow older and as it goes on during time, our belief in what... our knowledge of what God can do may stay the same, but our belief in our heart what God can do can sometimes change. Let me illustrate it to you this way. It's easy to believe God for $20. I need $20 to get through the week. God, send $20. That's no big deal. A little higher for $200, but $200 is not too bad, especially today. The dollar's dropping, so. $2,000, that's big. But God can do it. But what about 200,000? No way. No way. But cannot God do anything? Did not Jesus do everything when he ministered? And I'm not saying God will reward the foolish person who charges recklessly and gets into a mortgage or a thing that they can't afford. That's a different story. For another message, another time. But God can do it. And did he not say that you would do greater things? Not in magnitude. What's greater than raising people from the dead? But more things. Yet I think the belief level of the church and evidence in what we strive for and believe for has a ceiling to it, where in God there is no ceiling. That all things are possible to those who believe. And so we need to understand that God's power is unlimited and there is nothing too difficult, because even though he loves us and he does love us, without faith it is impossible to please God. Faith is an essential element in receiving everything from the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation and everything that goes along with it. Believing and trusting in Him. And let me tell you, if you're lacking in there, the simple prayer that we've all prayed, if we're truly honest, is, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Amen? God is also the giver of faith. And lastly, it's marked by a never-ending pursuit. The Good Shepherd will always be watching out and looking for you. And this is illustrated in Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, a great chapter of redemption. One parable, Jesus told them this parable, and it goes along with the Good Shepherd. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Now, Luke 15, I mentioned it was the chapter of redemption. To illustrate redemption, which means being bought back, and that's what Jesus did. We were sold to sin. Jesus, with his blood, bought us back so that we could be in communion with God. He shares three stories, not just one, but three to illustrate this. The lost sheep. And then there's one, there's a lost coin. A woman loses a coin, and she literally turns the house upside down for this coin until she finds it. And then she finds it, and then she goes and tells everyone that she's found it. She's full of joy. And then, of course, the one we're probably most, all of us are most familiar with, the lost son or the prodigal son. The son who gets his inheritance, leaves his father, goes wine, woman, and song, loses everything, and then the father receives him back. There are three things that will cause a believer to think that the Good Shepherd will no longer protect and provide and care for them. And they're illustrated in this chapter. The sheep, those who are wounded by life, others, or the enemy. When life deals you a cruel blow, especially when it's been a friend or a family member, someone close to you, one of the things that can come into our mind is to think, because everyone has forsaken me, God has forsaken me too. Because people have wounded me, God it doesn't care. And what this scripture is saying, even though you might be out there wounded, even though the enemy might have torn on you, I am still going to go after you and pursue you. So don't think when tragedy of life befalls you that the Good Shepherd isn't there. You might, and you might be, and most probably will be, because your flesh, if you're like anyone else who serves Jesus, you might go through a crisis of faith during a time of great difficulty. You hear devastating news. The Holy Spirit will not cease to draw you back to Him. He won't give up on you because He loves you. You have the choice, but He's still going to pursue you. The coin. When I think of a lost coin, I think of that which falls through the cracks. And doesn't that happen with a lot of people? People just kind of, you know, one person can only minister effectively to a certain amount of people, more than the people that are in this room, and more definitely who are part of our church family. And so it's inevitable, because of humanness, that people will fall through the cracks. People will go through something no one call, and, you know, or, you know, they'll kind of lose interest in their faith and start drifting away. Even though in man's eyes, that person has fallen through the cracks, they're not despised or they've just been forgotten about, the Holy Spirit will continue to pursue. And there may be some who are sitting here today, and a year from now you might have fallen through the cracks. Let me assure you, And even though I might have forgotten about you, and the person next to you might have forgotten about you, and whatnot, and we're just going on, and we're like, who is that person? What was their name? That will never happen in the mind of Christ. And He'll still be wooing you and pursuing you in the name of Jesus. Thirdly, the Son, those who willfully walk away. That's probably the greatest thing, and that's probably the thing that is the greatest roadblock to the ministry of the Good Shepherd in our lives. That, you know, I knew what was right, and I walked away from it. I knew right from wrong, you know, lie, cheat, steal, that type of thing. I knew that I was supposed to be serving God. I knew I was supposed to be worshiping with a body. And I'm not doing those things anymore. He still loves you. And He's waiting for you just to turn back in the name of Jesus and to repent. Let me close very quickly by saying, what is our responsibility? Two things. Number one, we need to know Jesus. Let me tell you, if you personally don't know Christ, you're missing out on the most wonderful life that is. A life that's going to have challenges, but let me tell you, and I found, and you know my situation, I found that this year has been very rewarding spiritually in knowing God. I'm looking forward to it being over. Don't get me wrong. There's only one way. Jesus in John 10 describes Himself not only as the good shepherd, but as the door of the gate. Verse 9, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Let me tell you, there's only one way to knowing God and knowing Jesus, who is God, and being under the ministry of the good shepherd, and that is accepting Christ by faith. And I don't want to get too much off this, making Christ Lord of your life. And let me tell you, and this will let you know how, whether or not you have made Christ Lord of your life. Peter said in his first sermon, repent and be baptized, and you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. If you not only believe Jesus, but you're willing to surrender your life and to make Him Lord of your life, then you will repent. That means those things which the Holy Spirit says in your heart, you shouldn't be doing those things. You say, with God's help, I'm not going to do those things anymore. I'm not just sorry for those things. I'm going to repent or turn from those things. What is that? That's an acknowledgement that now Christ is my Lord. I'm no longer going to live for me. I'm going to live for Him. That's the gate. That's the door. Belief in Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's even brought out in Romans 10, 9 and 10. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just Christ, but that He is Lord. And secondly, and this is very important, know and follow His voice. And I'll just share very quickly on this. In fact, musicians, you can come if you would like. Know God's Word. Feed in the pasture. Amen? In the name of Jesus. You need to know God's voice. So when He says, don't go there, you don't, and come here, you do. Know the Word. Know the Spirit. God speaks through His Holy Spirit. Amen? And this is the time of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with His Spirit. Spend time in His presence. And open your ear to His voice. He has something to say to you. And lastly, keep your mind clear. Now, I recognize your voices. But if I fill my mind with all kinds of different voices, I might not quite recognize. The more voices I hear, the less I might recognize because it becomes cloudy. There are a lot of voices. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us, flee the appearance of evil. And we think of that, or avoid every kind of evil. When we think of those things, we think of, well, stay away from bars and stay away from, you know, if you have friends who practice drugs, you know, be friends with them, but stay away from that. Stay away from drugs. Stay away from people who lie, you know, stay out of those things. But evil, as I mentioned earlier, is just not the good and bad, it's deceit. And let me tell you, a lot of people in the church today are opening their minds to the deceit of the world. They read things that they shouldn't. They're watching TV shows with either man's philosophy or New Age or a cult. In fact, the most popular movie that's out today was, Twilight? About vampires. What are vampires? Well, they're not of God, I can tell you that. And I wouldn't fill my mind, and I hope you don't fill your mind with it either. And I'm sorry if I'm offending you. If I offend you over Twilight, no big deal. There's more important things in life. Amen? But let me tell you, I'm just saying, there's a lot of evil that's out there. And it may sound good. You might get a book, Seven Steps to a Happy Life, but it's written by some person who doesn't know God and is subscribed to an ungodly philosophy. The more you fill your mind, the more you cloud your mind, and the less able you're able to discern the true voice of the Good Shepherd. Flee it. If it's not of God, stay away from it. Even some who might propose to be Christian authors, as I mentioned earlier, be very, very careful and read with not an open mind, but a discerning mind, everything that comes your way. In fact, my preaching, I am not, as a man, above error, because I'm someone who's flesh and blood. Next week, I don't think it's going to happen. I could go off on some half-crazed doctrine that has nothing to do with the Word of God, and it happened with many people. You need to be a God against everyone, not in a critical way, but in a very, very serious way, because this is your soul that we're talking about, and your soul is important before God. And if you don't know the Word of God, you're going to have trouble. And if you're flirting with things, you know, people seem nice. Oprah seems nice, but there's stuff that comes out of her mouth that is not of God, and will not bring you any closer to Jesus. Nothing against her personally, and I hope she knows Jesus, and if she doesn't, I hope she ascribes to Jesus at some point. Let's be careful. Let's stand this morning. In the name of Jesus, we're going to just pray a quick prayer of devotion together as a body. We're going to sing a song of praise, then following. But let's commit ourselves, amen? Be subject to and to understand fully the ministry and the nature of the Good Shepherd in the name of Jesus. Father, we love you so much this morning. We love you for giving us Jesus, not only on the cross, although that, Lord Jesus, is so important that he died and rose again. Not only that he's coming back someday to usher us into an eternity of unthinkable, unfathomable bliss. We thank you that the ministry of the Good Shepherd is with us now. Emmanuel, God is with us in the name of Jesus. And it is not just enough, it is more than enough to live victoriously in this life. Protection from all evil, provision in body and spirit. Comfort during times of sorrow. Protection from the snares of the enemy. God, you've provided it all for us because you love us. You're able, O God, in the name of Jesus, and you'll never stop to pursue us in Jesus' name. Oh God, Lord, help us, Lord, to be mindful of this at all times, that you are the God of the here and now, as well as the God of both past and future. Help us to live, Lord, in the joy and the fullness of these blessings. Not only that we might be blessed, but above all, Lord Jesus, that people would see Christ in us and want that same relationship with you in Jesus' name. And make us wise as serpents in giving us discerning minds and spirits in everything that's out there, Lord Jesus. Not just temptation, God, but deceit that's in the world today, God. Yes. And we know, God, as we, Lord, faithfully follow you, that all our needs will be provided for in Jesus' name. We ask this in your holy name this morning. Amen and amen. Let's worship God together. Amen. Praise God.